Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's so good. He's excited for us. Amen. He's stirred for us, and so we should be stirred for him. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's so good. He's so good. Amen. I just can't get over how good God is. You know, I think about God's goodness every day because I live in God's goodness every day. Amen. And if you are if you are children of God, you should live in God's goodness every day. God's got great and mighty wonderful things for us, and he's willing to take us there. Amen. But we have to be willing to go there. Glory to God. We have to be willing to go with him. It's a free ride. It's freely paid for. But, you know, even on a free roller coaster, you still got to get in the car. Amen. Even in a free ride, you still got to get in. You don't just get to go because it's given to you. You have to take part in that. Amen. And so that's what we're doing here. When we come together, when we congregate together, we're getting into all that God has for us. We're making a choice to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it doesn't always feel like stuff is happening. But you know, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that we're told that we don't have to live by our feelings. In fact, we're not supposed to live by our feelings, but we live, our bread is out of every word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as we allow those words to soak in us and to saturate us and to become part of us, then our lives start changing for the better into the things that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm expecting the Lord to move on us, and I hope you are as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called Confidence in Trial. Praise the Lord. And I almost, as I was preparing, I almost thought, you know, this doesn't really seem like a Friday night message. It almost seems more like a Sunday night message or Sunday morning message. But, you know, the direction of God is the direction of God, and I'm not going to argue with that. Amen. So we need to just get in and find out everything that he has for us because he loves us so greatly, and he knows what we need. Amen. I was thinking about that on the way down here is that, you know, it's not a very long ride down here, so I didn't think about it very long, but I thought about it enough, amen, that you know, God so often will do things or show us things that don't line up with the way we think. It doesn't line up with what we think should happen, but see, that it doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the way we get blessed when we line up with what the Word says, amen? Praise the Lord. And glory to God. Trial is something that every Christian's face. Every Christian faces, every person faces, doesn't matter if you're Christian or not, trial is going to come. You know, and I've decided this, since trial is going to come anyways, we might as well at least just learn how to be victorious in it, amen? Because it doesn't matter if you go to church or not, you're going to face trial. You know, some people, they get offended, they stop coming to church, they leave the church or whatever, and because they get mad about some kind of trial or something. But you know, the truth of the matter is that they're going to still face the trials. Actually, they're going to face them a lot worse out there, because now when you're not connected to a local body, then you don't have the hope, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, we've seen a lot of things. The body of Christ this week has just come under great attack. You see the terrible, another terrible shooting in Texas down there. And, you know, of course, that's not God's will. Regardless of what people say, God's not trying to teach his people about something. He's not trying to open their eyes to something. But I can tell you this, God's people's eyes will be open as bad things happen. Amen. It's not God doing it, but their eyes will be open because they'll realize, hey, maybe I could have done a little bit. I'm not saying them people, you understand. I'm not trying to put the blame on the people that went through the, because it's a horrible thing. And we as brothers and sisters in the faith, we need to support those people. We need to support those who are going through horrible times like this. You know, and we need to believe the Lord that he will that he'll be able to get to them and help them, amen, and release faith for them. Praise the Lord. But trial is coming anyway, so you might as well win. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You're going to face trial anyways. You might as well get through it victorious. You might as well get to the other side of it, amen. It's easy to be in faith when there is no trial. And this is something that's really important to understand, and a lot of people fail to understand. They think, well, if I just had more faith, I wouldn't have been in the trial, but that's not the truth. On the other hand, they think, you know, they start going through trial and they think, where's God? And he's like, that's what faith is for. And faith is for to get you to the other side. Faith is for is when you're dealing with stuff, when your world's crashing down, when there's pain, when there's suffering, that's where faith comes into play, amen? And so many times people leave faith aside and they forget about it. But see, God's created a way for us to get through, amen? I love this. In the beginning of 1 Peter in my Bible, In just the introduction to Peter, it's not actually scripture, but somebody wrote this, and I thought these words were just wonderful. They said, persecution can cause either growth or bitterness in the Christian life. Response determines the result. Persecution can cause either growth or bitterness in the Christian life. And we know, according to the word, that all things work for us. If you love God, all things work together for you. So if you know that, you understand that God isn't creating everything, all the trial and all the pain and the adversity, but you understand that he's tilted the odds in your favor so much so that even when there's trial that comes against you, all it does is increase you. It doesn't leave you in the cold. It doesn't put you behind if you deal with it correctly. But there's a way to deal with it, and there's a way not to deal with it. And people have to know how to deal with it. Christians need to know how to deal with it. And I'll say this, that a lot of Christians, even though, I mean, we may have taught this or similar messages before. I actually started going through my notes today, see when the last time I taught along these lines, and it's been quite a while. But, you know, the thing is that even though we're taught it, still when we go through trial, the first thing we do is we forget the things that God told us. We forget the tools. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I think about all my garage. I got a garage full of tools. I got a couple garages with a lot of tools in them. Praise the Lord. And one of the things I have is a shovel. But you know, when I go out to dig a hole, I don't sit there looking for a hammer. I don't sit down and cry because there's a hole to be dug and I don't want to use my hands. No, I go grab my shovel and I start using it what it's for, amen? Well, the Word of God is the exact same way. The Word of God is full of truth and full of tools for us to use to better our lives and to get us to that place where God has intended us to be. One of the hardest things to explain to people is that God has created things in such a way to work through our faith. It is not going to work separate from our faith. So I'm here to tell you, if you're sad because you got to do something, because you got to be part of it, you got to be part of the answer, amen? Praise the Lord. A lot of us are part of the problem, but we need to be part of the answer. And see, that's what we have to understand, is that God has made us to be part of the answer. So we have to choose to be part of the answer. It isn't going to happen. You know, I have vehicles. I have, we have a little old tractor and stuff like that. But you know, the thing is about this stuff is that if you don't maintain it, if you don't do things to take care of it, then eventually they're not going to work right anymore. Eventually they're just going to be, that's why I like new stuff a lot. Because new stuff, you don't have to think about it as much. You know what I mean? We bought a new washer this year. Back in July, we had to buy a new washer. The only reason I know when we bought it was because we found out today because it stopped working. So I was like, man, we just bought this thing, I thought, you know. And so I called the place where we bought it from. They said, yeah, you bought it in July. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Well, it started working again. But the point is that, you know, you didn't expect it to not work. And until the moment when it doesn't, sometimes you don't think about I don't think about the workings of a washer. But see, we need to be proactive as Christians. We need to get ourselves to the place where when trial comes, we're like, all right, it doesn't mean that you like trial. It doesn't mean that you love what's going on. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, you feel good because you're in pain or because you're being, something's coming up against you or something like that. None of that stuff. God didn't say that. You know, there's foolish Christians that believe that kind of stuff. You know, the Bible says to rejoice through trial, but not to rejoice about the trial. I don't rejoice because I'm going through trial. I never see that in the Word. You know, you never see Jesus go like, well, you know, I'm excited because I'm going to the cross. He was excited about what it meant to go to the cross. You know, and so we have to be the same way, and we have to realize that when we're going through trial, that God's got a way to get us through the other side, and we're going to get there. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to start in John 16:33, but I'm going to start in the Amplified. And so if you don't have the Amplified, you might want to just look up here. I think you're going to pull it up, but otherwise, just listen. John 16:33 in the Amplified. And we know the scripture a lot. I go to the scripture a lot, but we know it a lot in the regular version. But I just wanted to pull it out in the Amplified to get some of that meat out of it. Amen? It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Okay? This is the first thing we have to understand about the Word. The Word is written so that we would have perfect peace and confidence. Perfect peace. In 1 John, I think it's 1 John 1:4, it tells us that they have written these things so that our joy may be full. You see, people are looking for joy in life, and they don't realize that it's found in the Word of God. And why is it found in the Word of God? How can you open it up? Because, see, you've got to get revelation of what the Word of God is. Word of God is instruction to our lives. The Word of God is the promise of what we have. This is the same thing. This is the same thing if you own your own house and you've got a deed for your house, you have a title for your house or a title for your car, this is the same thing. This is your title deed to all the promises of God. This is what you have right here. And so by Christians not using it, by Christians not being in it, by not being part of it, by not allowing it to get in them, and I don't just mean in church, but at home too, especially at home because you're there more than you're at church. Yeah. Amen? But by Christians not getting in it and not letting it become part of their life, what they're doing is they forget what their ownership is. Yeah. You see, the Bible, Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. He's told us the truth so that we know when we go through trial, we have confidence of what the other side is going to be. See, this is why it's so messed up that so many Christians, and I still hear it all the time. I'm amazed at what Christians, there was this one YouTube video I watched, this one Christian, real smart Christian guy, and he was like, it was called something like doctrines that you need to be afraid of or something like that. Right? Doctrines. And basically, he starts talking to me. He had like five or six doctrines. I can't remember. Maybe seven even. But every single one of them was like something that we believe in. And I was like, well, geez, that's not good. You know, that's just not right. See, the thing is that people don't have understanding of the Word. And because they don't have understanding of the Word, they're lost, scattered in faith. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to live their life. God didn't give us everything He gave us so we wouldn't have. He gave us everything we could. He gave us so we could have confidence, so we could have a surety, so we could know what the outcome is going to be. You know, it's foolish. Christians should not believe that the end is unknowable. God has made the end knowable. He said it'll work out good for you if you work it. I said it'll work out good for you if you work it. It doesn't matter. See, this is what I love about God. It doesn't matter, and I've said this before, I know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, male, female. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or if you're 112. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you're skinny. It doesn't matter if you're fat. It doesn't matter if you're tall. It doesn't matter if you're short. All that matters is that you follow the Word. That's the only thing that matters. The Word is the truth. And He told us these things so that we would have perfect peace and confidence. People say things like, well, that's the way you interpret it. Well, that's not the truth. It's not the way that I interpret it. People that say those things, and I said this before, but people that say those things are people that don't know the Word. They're people that haven't read the Word. Because you can't read the Word in its perfection, in its truth. You can't read the Word and accept the Word and get a different take on it than what. Now, you know, there's things here and there, but I'm talking about the basic truths. If you don't live right, then you aren't going to have God in your life. And the reason I say that is because there's so many people that don't live right. You know, I was telling a good friend of mine, you know, as ministers of the gospel, we endeavor to make our lives, conform our lives to what God wants us to. And sometimes we take on such heavy attack of condemnation for any little thing that we do wrong. And I said to my brother one day, I said, you know something? I said, brother, this is what I'm going to tell you. Like, first of all, you got to get over it because you have to understand that God is going to bless us because other people aren't doing what we do. The majority of the body of Christ is supposed to live just as we live, as what we try to do. And I'm not puffing myself up because I came off the street. I was no better than anyone else. I'm still no better than anyone else. The only difference is I've given my life to God and I've decided that that's all there is to it. Wherever He calls me, whatever He tells me to do. If God came to me tomorrow and said, I want you to shut Mayville Church, Corey Church down tomorrow, and I want you to move to Dear Jesus somewhere like New York City, and I want you to start street evangelizing, praise the Lord, that's what I would do. I'm going to do what God has me to do. I don't care what people think, amen? I've given my life over, even if it's something I don't want to do. But I said to him, you know, this is why God will bless us and why you have to be a little bit easier on yourself. Now, this isn't hard because anybody can fall into this. Why do I say these things? Because the Word works for those who work it. It always works for those who work it. People, religious people say, well, I don't believe that stuff. They've never even given it a shot. And by giving it a shot, like, listen, you can't give faith a shot, really. Because faith isn't about giving it a shot. Faith is either faith is either sold out or it's not. That's what I love about God. You know, when He has you move on something, it's like, do it. It's all in or all out. Yeah, when everything, and as I grow, everything God leads me into makes less and less sense in the natural. Praise the Lord. I use the example, we're in the process of buying a building for Corey. It makes no sense in the natural. At the beginning of this year, I thought, man, it would be great if we had this particular building I'm looking at. I thought, man, that would be perfect for us. That would be a wonderful building to be in. It makes no sense to do it. But see, God doesn't care about any of that. All God cares about is doing what he's told you to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ain't got through one verse. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Now, I got to stop here again. See, you notice he didn't say, as a Christian. Notice he didn't say, in the kingdom of God. He said, in the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Where is the world? It's everything around us, right? It's everything we came out of. And we come into the kingdom of God, but we still live in the world. We still have the world active around us. We still live in this world. This is why. We don't have tribulation and stress and trials and frustration because of God. We have it because of the world. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But, Jesus said, be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Hallelujah. For I have overcome. Praise the word, the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it. This is what this means. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. I have deprived. Jesus said he's deprived the world, deprived it of the power to harm you. But see, how is it the Christians still get harmed? Because they don't understand this. They don't understand the truth of the word. See, Christians, listen, we can believe, when we see this in Scripture, it was Peter and James. James was killed, man of God, serving God, doing everything God wanted him to do, was not God's will for him to die. But James was killed because the church didn't pray. James went, he was killed, he was taken out because the church didn't pray. Peter was spared because they wised up and they started praying. Listen, there's things God's given us. On Sunday, God willing, we'll be preaching about I'll be preaching about prayer and about what it means to pray and how to pray. And I'm not even talking about Holy Spirit prayer. I'm just talking about basic prayer. See, it's important for us to understand what we have to do and have to understand it rightly. And if we do it rightly, it works. Amen? But Jesus is deprived of its power to harm us. He's conquered the world for us, but see, we can't do it unless we walk in his way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1:3. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:3. You know, this letter of Peter here, this was a church that was facing, or Christians that were facing, quite a lot of persecution. Now, when we talk about early church persecution, I mean, people are killed for their faith. You know, we sometimes in America, we take it lightly because we can worship where we want to worship. But in the early church, there was people, they were killed for what they believed in. And I don't just mean killed. I mean, there's people got creative with how they wanted to kill people. I'm talking about torture. Horrible torture. I mean, I don't know how many of the apostles, disciples were either burned at the stake, were nailed to crosses. You know, there was that. There was this one ancient torture device. It was a bronze bowl, and it had its nostrils were hollow. And what they would do is they would put somebody into this bronze bowl. So it's a metal bowl, and then they would light a fire underneath it. And that the screaming would come out the nostrils, and that would make the noise for the bowl. This was an actual torture device that people, and martyrs, people that were Christians, would be put into this thing. And you understand, this is the kind of stuff that the church is facing today. This is the kind of things that are in the future, I'm saying. This kind of idea. I mean, what do you think? What do you think it's God's will that a man, a crazy man, deranged man, would go into a church and start killing babies? Of course not. It's not God's will. But what do you think's happening? See, the church has let things slip in this country. The church as a whole, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, again, that church, our church, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. Christians, we got to get serious about stuff. Listen, there are things coming in this nation that whether you like it or not, whether you go to church or not, there are things coming in this nation that are not going to be fun. We're talking about, the Bible talks about a time where mothers wish that they had never had their children because things are so bad. This is what's coming upon us. It's time to be serious about the Lord and to be serious about what God's doing, because it's not God that's doing this. See, we understand what happens is God's given us the way, but when people aren't serious about God, the devil rises up. Why do you think the drug epidemic is so bad? Why do you think it's just getting spiraling out of hand? I just had a friend this week, a friend that I used to spend, a person I used to be friends with. Another one, just overdose. Just like that. Was a born-again Christian at one point. Praise the Lord. I hope to God that their salvation was still solid. I hope it was still there. But another one just dropped because of what? Because they want to live in the world? And I remember a time when this person wanted to live, wanted to have the things of the world more than the things of God. It was more important to them to have the things of the world. That is the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's trial. But see, the thing is that God's given us the ability to get through it. He's given us the ability to conquer it, to not just conquer it, to be on the other side, shining like new dimes, looking good. Hallelujah. He's made us to come out, rise up out of the ashes, praise the Lord, spread our wings and fly. This is what God has created for us, but we don't get there without being serious for God. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3. Have you found it yet? Praise the Lord. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. Praise God. A living hope. Praise the Lord. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Glory to God. A living hope. A living hope. That word hope, again, that word hope is literally the joyful and confident expectation. So you could read it this way. He has begotten us again. He has reborn, birthed us again. This is what salvation does. It births us again to a joyful and confident expectation. Joyful and confident expectation. Listen, Christian. Do you know what that means? Do you understand that when you have trial come against you, this is what you have. And if you don't have this, and you don't know who you are, you don't know what you live in, you don't know what Jesus provided, you have no idea what salvation even means. No idea. It means that you have a joyful and confident expectation. That means when trial rises up against you, there is something in you that should speak up and say, wait a minute. No, my expectation, my knowledge of the end is that it's going to be good. So no matter what it looks like in the moment, it doesn't matter, because the other side of this is good for me. And if you actually even know more, that the trial actually doesn't, it's not that it's just good for you on the other end, but the trial actually works something in you. God will allow that trial to work something in you. This is the grace of God. He didn't author the trial, but he will allow that trial that the devil brings against you to work for you. So every time the enemy attacks you, I mean, listen, every time something happened at work, say you go to work, and every time something happened, well, I don't know, whatever job you do, it doesn't matter, something you don't like happened. But every time something happened, say somebody handed you $10 to go along with it. You know what I mean? So somebody comes up to you and calls you a bad name. Something, Marky's dealt with this before, praise the Lord. Call them all kinds of bad names. Imagine somebody, every time somebody did that, to hand you $10. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You'd start feeling a little differently, wouldn't you? Yeah. You would be so mad at it. You'd say, hey, let the trial come. I can use a few extra bucks today. Hey, listen, you would go up to the person that been name calling you, and you'd be like, bring it on, hallelujah. Give me some more. Just pour it on. No, I'm going to tell you what, man. I love you, God loves you, and stuff like that, but just get it out. I know you've had some frustration in your life. You'd be egging them on. You'd be like, hey, wait a minute here. You know, every time you're at school, that person that picks on you, that bully, it said every time somebody picked on you, every bad thing they said, somebody handed you a $10 bill, you'd be like, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Because listen, they might hate you at school, but you're going shopping afterwards. I mean, you don't care what's happening. Pick at me about my clothes. Praise the Lord. I'm about to buy some new ones. You know what I'm saying? But see, this is the thing. This is what we have. This is what our God has done. Now, we don't physically get the $10 bill, but what we get is so much more precious because what it creates in us, it brings us to a place. Listen, I'm not just using a churchy way of saying, huh, you don't really get money, but it's good anyways. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm trying to explain to you is that what we get is so much better. God wants us to have a life that's full of joy. You know, I often get a kick about, especially high school, because everybody who's in high school thinks it means so much. Oh, it's so important, and so-and-so says this, and so-and-so does this. I remember when Marky was in high school, I'd be like, listen, bud, I was like, in literally a couple years, you aren't going to talk to any of those people. You may see them once in a while, but you aren't going to talk to any of them. And there'll be people that came against you that will come up to you as they're your best friend in 5 years. Why? Because that's the way it goes. Nobody cares. High school is stupid. And if you just realize that it's stupid, that you would just get through it and you'd just be like, all right, I love the way Caleb sails through life. Oh my God, what a faithful kid he is. But I love the way Caleb sails through life. It just doesn't bother him. I'm talking about life. I mean, like, you could, like, you know, you'd be like, Caleb, you know, there's a pile of dog dung on the living room floor. Praise the Lord. Will you go pick it up? Okay. You don't even think about it. Yeah. And Caleb, you know, there's like literally a meteor shower outside. Like there's meteors putting holes in the ground. But, you know, I forget my slippers in the truck. Can you go out and get them? Okay. I mean, nothing in life, you know what I mean? Nothing in life bothers this kid. It doesn't matter what, you know, Caleb, there's a forest fire out there, but, I left the axe out in the woods. Would you go get it? He'll go out and do it. Nothing in life bothers him. People, he doesn't care. He doesn't even think about what people think about him. At least he never expresses it. But a kid ain't ever depressed, so you know that it's not bothering him inside, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But, you know, I wish I had that. I wish I had that understanding. If you tell Caleb, saying, you know, I'm bragging on my son Caleb for a minute because he's just, he's geared that way. I don't know where the heck he gets it because ain't nobody in my family, his mom's family, or anybody else's family that I know is like that. But he is. Hallelujah. Yeah, right. Have you ever met anybody? Like seriously. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, God, God has designed things in such a way that even though, or Jesus has set things up in such a way that even though things are going to come against us, even though things are going to try to rob us, they can't do it. And so we might as well just have that attitude like, well, I'm going to the other side. It's going to work out for me. So it doesn't matter. Are you without something you want right now? Well, that's just fine. Deal with it. Deal with it. It'll come because God wants it to come. But see, if you have this expectation, this joyful and confident expectation, then you'll know that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. Who are kept. Everybody says, are kept.
Are kept.
Praise the Lord. Say. Not says. Praise the Lord. Are kept. We are kept by what? The power of God. Through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept by the power of God, not by your ability, not by my ability. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. What's faith? Faith is that joyful expectation. It's that hope. Faith is that knowledge that God is good and that he's going to do it. And everything he just said prior to this is true. Because God is God and that's what he does. He doesn't lie. He tells us the truth and that truth is good. That truth is beneficial. That truth makes us feel good. That truth gives us hope. This is who our God is. Our God is the God of joyful expectation. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's our God. That's who we serve. He's the God of joyful expectation. He wants you to know that your life is going to be good if you follow him. You are only kept, though, through the belief in that. You aren't kept aside from the belief in that. This is why Christians who do not believe that God wants to do everything good for them, This is why they don't see it. This is why they never know it. Because the Bible's clear. I mean, can you read that any differently? What are you kept by? Okay, I asked you. I didn't tell you this time. I asked you. What does the Bible say? Who we are kept by what? The power of God. Just by the power of God? Are we just kept by the power of God? Is it automatic? What's it say? Through faith. Through faith for salvation. Now, of course, that salvation, what we're talking about is the salvation of our lives from everything that the world has and sin has made in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's see, where am I going? I'm going through verse 9. In this you greatly rejoice. You see, this is how you got to read the Word. When you're reading through the Word, when you see things like that, I greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. This is why we try to get people to praise in church. Because when you're going through trial, if it's hard for you to praise here, it's going to be even harder for you to do it out there. When you're doing it here where everybody is excited and everybody's stirred up, listen, it's important to praise God. This is why we greatly rejoice. Why do we greatly rejoice? Because of the trial? No, because we are kept. Through the power of God, the very power of God keeps us. The power of God that created everything that we see, including us, keeps us. Praise the Lord. And we have something to rejoice in. Amen? This is how the truth sets people free. Because see, you, when you came in here for the first time, you didn't know all this. When you came in here for the first time, you didn't know God was really good. You heard God was good, but you didn't know He was really good. That's what kept you coming back, because you heard something different than what you heard before. Listen, I'm not saying it because it's us. I'm saying this is what kept me coming back. This is what took me being who I was into being a pastor. Because I understand it, because I was taught this very thing. This is how the truth makes us free. Because it frees us from all that cruddy thinking that is no good. That just takes us in the place that we don't want to go. Praise the Lord. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if indeed be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now this is important, verse 7, to understand that we're that there at verse 7, the beginning of verse 7, it means that this is why we are grieved, if need be, by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. What's the revelation of Jesus? It's the knowledge of who He is, what He did, what He's willing to do, what He does in you, what He paid for, why He paid for. This is the revelation of Jesus. This is what we have to get into people. See, we have to talk about Jesus. If we never talk about Jesus, then nobody else is ever going to get the revelation of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this. If you never talk about Jesus with anybody, you don't have the revelation of Jesus. Because if you realize who Jesus was, you'd be out there shouting it on the mountaintops. Praise the Lord. You wouldn't let somebody stifle your talking about how good God is, if you really understand. That the genuineness of your faith. Listen, faith isn't faith unless it's tested. Yeah, because you can say whatever you want. It's easy to have faith when there's no storms. It's easy to have faith when nothing's coming against you. It's easy to say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in His goodness. God is so good, when everything is hunky-dory. It's easy to. The genuineness of our faith, though, needs to be tested. It needs to be proven. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, this shouldn't bother us if we know that the other side means victory. And the other side doesn't just mean victory. See, God is, He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder. So when you go through that trial, when you get through it right and you go through the other side, I'm not saying you don't feel it. I'm not saying that you don't not want it, but I'm saying you go through it right. And you praise and you give God glory and honor because of His goodness. Not because of the trial, because of His goodness. You give God all this praise and honor and you glorify Him in the midst of this. When you get to the other side, there's a present right there for you. There's something waiting for you on the other side. Now, what that is, it could be many types of things. It could depend on the trial. Sometimes you'll have financial trials, and sometimes on the other side of it means financial breakthrough, financial wealth. But listen, one thing I've learned about the trials is that when I go through the trial, and I think, okay, this is a trial, and I understand this, and I think that this is where it needs to end. A lot of times it goes on a little bit further. A lot of times it's like, whoa, I thought it was going to end there. You know, I'll give you a great example. You know, someone once told us that when somebody prophesies over you, when they give you a word from heaven, like, you don't want a minister to necessarily always have to give you a word from heaven, because when that happens, basically that's an anchor to your soul, so that when the trial comes, you have something to hold on to and say, hey, wait a minute, this is what was said over me, so now I can remember this, you know. And so like Pastor Michael's often said, he's like, be happy if I don't call you up, because that means that ain't nothing big coming, you know. But, you know, I've had that. I've had many things about Corey. I've had many things about this church spoken over me. And, you know, there's been trials that have come up. And then, of course, you're always excited when the word comes. You're like, oh, yeah, that's great. The word came. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Now the trial starts coming. And you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, you start feeling like you don't know what you're going to do and stuff. And then all of a sudden you recognize, oh, this is that trial. This is what they're talking about. And then you get through it. Praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the devil turns up the heat. And you're like, wait a minute. I thought that was the trial of this thing. And it's like, no, I'm going to turn it up more. When are you through to the other side? Well, when you're through on the other side. You'll know when you're there. Praise the Lord. When you've broke through, when you've got through the other side of that, when it's all behind you. But until then, you just keep your eye on the prize and keep going forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is good. He's taken us through to the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Listen, it's not our faith even that's precious. It's the genuineness of our faith. It's when our faith is proven. When we say, like, when you went through great trial, great storms, and you came out on the other side, and you say, you know what? I praise God all the way through. I still served in church. You know what people start doing? The trial comes. They stop going to church. Or they start getting less faithful. They stop serving. They stop doing all the things that got them the blessing in the first place. They start stepping back, stepping back, stepping back. And then pretty soon they're consumed by their trial. Why? Because they left everything that takes you out of the trial. That's where they're proving. That's the genuineness of your faith. When the heat is turned up, how do you respond to it? You know, Jesus said that when you fast, don't do it like the the Pharisees did, where they shaved their head and they let everybody know, I'm fasting and I'm going through this and da 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 da. He said, no, when you do that, he's like, you stay normal and don't let anybody know what you're doing. Then you'll receive your reward. Well, it's the same thing with trial. And when you're going through trial, you ain't gotta announce it to the world. You just go through it. You know what I mean? You said, no, that doesn't mean that if you need help with it. You know, sometimes we need encouragement and stuff like that. God, that's why God gave us the local body in the church and the pastors and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Glory to God. Because he loves us. Amen. Well, I ain't getting fast through these scriptures, am I? Praise the Lord. Though it be tested by, is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In my Bible, I outlined and I highlighted rejoice and then receiving. Rejoicing brings the receiving. You want to receive? Learn to rejoice. Rejoice in what? The goodness of God. Because he's taken you through. Listen, when one of the things, the last thing when you're going through trial that you want to do is rejoice. The last thing you want to do. The last thing I want to do when I'm going through trial is rejoice. But what do? You start a little bit. Praise you, Lord. It doesn't sound really good. It doesn't sound like very sincere. But just start there. I don't feel like it. Do it anyways. That's what gets you through to the other side. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to James. James 1. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I love what we have been taught, and this is so true. If you have to count it joy, it means that you don't have the joy there already. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy. You decide that it's all joy. How do you count it joy? Listen, joy is not just an emotion. Yes, joy is good to feel, but joy starts with what we confess. It starts with what we believe. You can't have joy. Like, one of the reasons when I was in the deepest, darkest depression, the biggest thief of my joy was the despair. It was the feeling of hopelessness. It was the feeling that there was nothing that I could do to ever get out, to ever get on the other side of this trial right now. And sometimes the trial was just being alive. That's where I was. What got me to the other side is learning that there's a joy that is not necessarily something I just have to feel. The manifestation of the joy comes as you put it to practice, as you let the joy, and the joy is the truth of the word. It's the truth that, listen, there's more to this. Why do we do this anyways? Why do we come to church? Listen, we don't come to church just because we're doing some godly duty. We come to church because we want to receive that joy. We want to receive the truth. We want to be taught the truth so we can live the truth, so we don't have to live the same way we did before. But it only happens by our choice. Only happens by our choice. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, everybody loves patience, right? The testing of our faith produces something. It produces patience. Now, patience has a purpose too. In verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. See, patience has a work. It does, these things do something. It's kind of like if you go to the gym, you know, I know people who go to the gym, I don't. But the people that go to the gym, they go to use this machine and that machine, and they say, like, oh, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are leg days, and Tuesdays and Thursdays are upper body days or arm days and stuff like that, you know. But if you just went and you had 5 days of just leg days, man, you'd be really built down there, right? If you just worked out with your legs all the time and you had these skinny, scrawny arms on top, you know what I mean? Because you never did that. You see, you work certain things to work certain things on you or in you, amen? It's the same thing with anything, you know? It's like a recipe. If you have a recipe and you only use half of the ingredients, you're going to have a very different outcome than you would if you use a full thing, amen? Patience works something in there. There's a perfect work that it has. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is the end of patience, lacking nothing. Are you lacking something in your life? Whatever it is. Is it something natural? Is it something physical? Is it something spiritual? Is it monetary? Is it a spouse? Is it whatever it is? What are you lacking? Patience works something in you, and on the other side, you don't lack anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. I like using spouse as an example. It's those people that they don't let God bring them their spouse. They just go date somebody, and they just make them their spouse, and then they wonder why they have train wreck. I know this very well. You can have train wreck in your life because you don't walk out the plan of God. Because you don't seek God. Oh, Lord, is this right? You just do what you want to do. And because of that, you don't let patience have its work in you. Sometimes patience takes a little while. That's the very nature of patience, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And I love this verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is in context of trial. You understand, if you need something, if there's understanding that you need, if there's, Lord, what do I do? Ask God. You go to God and you ask him. You go to him, because knowing, this is the joy, knowing he's going to answer you. Now, I'm not saying, like, going to God and saying, Lord, you know, I hope he answers me. Going to God knowing he is going to answer you. He is going to bring the answer to you. You will leave that at some point. You're going to get, it doesn't matter, doesn't mean it's going to happen that very second, you understand. But you will have the answer. If you know that, then you do. Every time I needed the answer, I have it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But then here we are, verse 6 again. But let him ask in faith. We know that that's him or her. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman. Let them ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I was with my pastor this week, and we were on a certain, we'll just say, mission. Hallelujah. And we were, this person that we were meeting up with, somebody knows my pastor, and asked him if he could talk, and he said, well, I got, you know, I'm going to have Pastor Jeff with me. He's like, that's fine. I need to talk. I was having some troubles. Amen. And so we sit down at a breakfast, and we're having, he's talking about what the trials are, some marital stuff, you know, and just typical things. And of course, we try to be encouraging and stuff, you know, and help him. Because here's the thing, is any problem, this is something I've learned, every problem has an answer. And the answer isn't that far away. Every problem has an answer. The answer isn't that far away. And if you follow God, you can get there every single time. Every time. This is no trial that's too big, no unanswerable questions. Every problem has an answer. And so as we're sitting there talking, and I know, knowing what I know, I'm just, and I was actually being real quiet because Pastor Tim was doing most of the talking. And I was really encouraged because as he's sitting there talking, I'm like, yeah. He's like telling me this, well, this is easily fixed. This is easily fixed. You know, but one thing that this person said during the conversation several times is when advice was given, say, yeah, well, I tried that. Yeah, well, I tried that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't do that. You didn't do the word. Listen, you can try something, but trying something isn't doing the word. And then as this person talks, it's continually about how all this stuff is probably going to go wrong. See, that's proof. You don't do the word. We have a hopeful expectation. We have a joyous expectation. We know the end from the beginning. We know it works out for us. Amen? But I said to Pastor as we were leaving, I said, isn't it funny? I said, how many times do you meet with somebody? And I was saying this because I've had experience, a little bit of experience here. How many times do you meet with somebody, you give them the advice, and they turn around and don't do it? They turn around and don't do it. And they go back. You know what I've always noticed is that people that come to get advice and they turn around and don't do it, they never get over that issue because they never tried it out. Because the advice either is something they don't want to do, it's either something that's it seems too hard, or whatever it is, but they decide not to do it, and they decide to go without. Not because God didn't provide it. Listen, every marital problem is really, really easy. First of all, I never understand a married couple that don't want to be together. If you don't want to be with somebody, if you don't want to do the things that married couples have to do, then don't get married. What are things that married couples have to do? They have to completely submit to the other person. Completely. If you don't want that, don't get married. I said, if you don't want that, don't get married. You have to completely submit. That means, you know, one of the things we're saying, as a husband, as the head of the household, sometimes what you have to do is, even when you know you are right and you are positive that you're right, you have to say, I'm wrong. Yeah. Why? Because Jesus did that. He said, as Christ loved the church. Sometimes you have to go, I'm wrong. Sometimes you just have to let it be. Sometimes you have to be the one. We have to be the one to bring peace. Praise the Lord. We have to be. If not, we won't have it. I've learned that so many times. If I didn't bring the peace in the situation, it wouldn't be in my household. Not because my wife didn't be it, because or wouldn't do it, but because that the Lord, because that's the way the Lord set it up. That I have to be the one to bring peace. And so even if I don't want to get over something, I have to. Praise the Lord. Husbands and wives that don't share the marriage bed. It's dangerous. Both sides. There's many women that have caused their husbands to sin, and the Bible says this, because they don't do their part. It isn't about you anymore. See, this is the thing. Husbands and wives, you don't realize it's not about you anymore. It's about the marriage couple, the marriage together, the welding together, the two becoming one. Right? Amen. This is why my wife and I, and the only reason my wife and I have such a good relationship, it isn't because we're perfect. We're far from perfect. Right? Far from perfect. But one thing we do is we know what we have to do. We know what our roles are, and we make sure we do that. We're not ashamed of our roles. Praise the Lord. We don't get mad about our roles. You know, so many people, they're like, it's so funny in this world. Like, one of the biggest things that everybody wants to do, all these ideas that are out there circulating in our society right now, what the purpose of all of it is to get people mad about stupid things. Like, listen, like, if you're a woman, You've been designed a certain way. You have things. You have wonderful traits, wonderful things about you. Why would you not embrace that? You can be excited about that. That's the way God made you. If you're a man, the same thing. Listen, if you're white, there's certain things. If you're black, there's certain things. If you're Indian, there's certain things. If you're Irish, there's certain things. Dear God, there's all kinds of things out there. If you're Swedish, there's certain things. Amen? Even Italians got good things. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. My wife's Italian. Glory to God. I feel like I can talk about it a little bit because my wife is Italian, but you know, everybody, there's good traits. We don't have to, everybody's not equal. You weren't created equal in the sense that you have, I mean, listen, there's some people that can play sports really well, that can do amazing things. There's people that can run super fast. Praise the Lord. We got people in this church that run super fast. I can't, I don't want to. I hate running. I'm telling you, when I see people running, I get mad. I'm not joking. It's true. I'll be driving down the street and I'll be like, see somebody running. I'm like, why do they do that? I just don't understand that garbage. Why would you want to run? There's nothing about running that's fun. Nothing about running. All you do is you sit there and you just run. That's why I don't go to the gym, because it's just not fun. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you understand sometimes you got to put the flesh down, but praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. We're getting close here, promise. Well, no, we're not. We're not anywhere near the end, but we're getting there. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about going through trial. God wants us to go through it, right? Look at 1 Peter 4:12 in the Amplified. I love this scripture. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered by the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. Praise the Lord. Don't think it's strange. It's not weird. It's not a strange thing. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test. I love this though. It says to test your quality. Life will test your quality, what you're made of. That's what your quality is. It's what you're made of. Life is going to test that. It's going to see just how far it can push you. There'll be people, they'll see just how far they can push you. They're going to see just how good of a Christian you really are. Praise the Lord. But it's important for you to know what you're made of. It's important for you to know. If you don't know what you're made of, you have no idea what you can go through. There are people all the time that give up on life. I've been there. I've been at the place where I was putting a gun in my mouth, ready to give up on life. I'm telling you right now. I didn't know what I was. Why? Because I don't put a gun in my mouth anymore. I know I don't need to do that. I know I can get beyond it. I know that I there's nothing that'll take me out. That there's no trial. Well, how do I know that? Because I know who God has made me to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I was with my brother Cody the other day, and we were talking about my truck, and he was instructing me on some things. You know, I got a newer truck now, and it's got a better engine, bigger engine than I did before. Amen? I was happy with the one I had before. I'm really happy with this one, you know. But he was telling me about when you drive it. He's like, you know, some people, like when he was talking about hauling and stuff like this, he's like, don't be afraid of this and this. He's like, just because, he said, people get afraid of that, but he said it's made to do that. And I love that. When I was thinking about this, when I was putting this message together, because we're the same way. We're made to do this. We're made to live this life victoriously. We're made to get through the trial. God made us strong enough. He gave us the ability to do this. So the next time you think about it, just think about my brother Cody saying, you're made to do this. Amen? You're made to get through to the other side. You're made to get up and go on. You're made to stand up one more time. You're made to be strong. You're made to go through. You're not going to be stopped because you're made to do this. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you know how many things are out there? And I know exactly what he's talking about, because it's just like I was telling him when we were, I remember the first time I was coming down one of these big mountains and we were on vacation. We're coming down Whiteface Mountain, and it said, use your low gear, you know. And I always thought that was bad. Like, you hear it whining, you know, like, because you drop it down lower gear, and it went. But this was made to do. Yeah. I got car people in here, so I hope I'm being somewhat right in saying this. But you understand the principle at any rate, amen? Because it saves on the brakes and stuff like this, you know. So, like, the cars are made to do things. People are made to do things. The Christians are made to do things a certain way. Yeah. This is the life is going to test what quality we are, amen? Praise the Lord. But we're good quality. We're not like a Ford Fiesta, man. We're like a Mercedes Benz, amen. We're not like a Yugo. We're like an Aston Martin or something like that, right? That's a car, right? Praise the Lord, nice one, I think. Praise God. We're a Lamborghini. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We're made to get revved up and go. Hallelujah. We're made when the heat's turned on to kick it in high gear and just take off. Hallelujah. That's what we're made to do. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm preaching a lot better than your amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do want to get here. 2 Corinthians 4:7. See, all this stuff is helping us. All this stuff is making us go to a different place. You know, this is what I love about church. Because I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy already. You can come into church and you can be stirred. You know, I woke up on one side of the bed today. I'm going to bed on a different side. Hallelujah. Why? Because God does this with us, you know. He wants to change our perspective. He wants us to realize that we're not losers and that the stress of life really isn't that big a deal. And the truth of the matter is most of the time when you really figure it out, you're like, well, that wasn't a big deal anyways. It just seems big in the moment. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:7, you found it? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord. Why did God make us the way he made us? Because we can be carriers of the power of God. We can use it, and it's not of us. We can know that we can't do it. Well, Jesus said, this is why people don't believe Jesus when he said, you can speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. People don't believe it because they don't believe, they don't realize that they're looking at their own ability. They're looking at their own strength. Listen, if you're a person that lives in your own strength, you're going to come to we call them come to Jesus moments, hallelujah. There's going to be one of those moments where you realize God will allow you to go there. If you're a person who always I always do this on my own strength, I always do this and always do that, and don't recognize that it's just the power of God, you're going to come to a place in your life where the only thing, and this will be the trial, and it's not going to be fun, I'm telling you, so just get it figured out, but you'll come to that place where the only answer is God. There, I've been to this place many times in my life because I wouldn't listen. I've been to this place where I was going to do it my way. I was going to do it because I know, and this is what seems right to me and what I want. Praise the Lord. You'll be brought to the place where you're like, only by the power of God. That's how I preach. Only by the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Praise God. We are hard pressed, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Look at this, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Yeah, we may be carrying, we may be facing the death. We may be, you know, when we talked about death this last week, that life and death are not just what people think they are, but life is, death can be a way of living too. You can live in death. This pertains, this is exactly what it's talking about. The life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. That means it appears. Praise the Lord. If Jesus manifested right here, you would see him. You would see him. You could come up and touch him. You know what I mean? That's what manifestation is. Praise the Lord. If all of a sudden a ho-ho manifested here, you could pick it up and eat it, and it would taste good because ho-hos taste good. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Really, Swiss cake rolls. Ho-hos aren't near as good as, but I like calling them ho-hos because I just like saying ho-ho better. Swiss cake roll is not as fun. But you understand, you could taste it. If it manifested, you could taste it. It's something real. Praise the Lord. The life of Jesus wants to be manifested in our bodies. In our bodies. That's our physical bodies. Your body, what do you got right now? You got your body. What are you most familiar with? Your body. Well, the life of Jesus wants to manifest there. If you ain't feeling good today, that's okay. The life of Jesus wants to manifest there. If you don't look so good, that's okay. The life of Jesus wants to manifest right there. If you don't feel like you got the strength to carry on, that's okay. The life of Jesus wants to manifest there. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, let's say this together. Say, the life of Jesus wants to manifest in me. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There again, mortal flesh. That's this. This is mortal. Amen? Praise the Lord. It poked me a little hard. Glory to God. Verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. Hallelujah. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. Now this is very important. And this, brothers and sisters, is what gets us through the trial. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. What you speak is what you believe. So if you want to be speaking, if you want to be believing the life of God, so you actually have the life of God, you need to be speaking the life of God. The life of God is the Word. This is why we speak the word. This is why when people say things, they say, you're talking stupid. I don't always tell people they're talking stupid, but this is why people, sometimes you're thinking, you know, you're talking stupid. You're not talking according to the word. Speak the word, because if you believe, you'll speak it. Praise the Lord. And when you speak it, it manifests. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Amen? He will raise us up. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we speak. What do we speak? We speak the word. I'm going to give you a few things to speak. And I want you to take these down. And when you're going through trial, these are things you're going to speak. Amen? You're going to speak 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What you're going to speak is, according to 1 John 4:4, praise the Lord, I might make sure I got that right. Yeah, 1 John 4:4. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. When stuff's coming against you, I thank you, Lord. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. See, sometimes people go to prayer, we're going to learn about this on Sunday, but sometimes people go to prayer when really what they need to do is go to speak. They need to talk. They need to say what the right things. It's not about asking God for the right things. They need to speak it. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. We're going to speak Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am more than a conqueror because he loved me. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Praise the Lord. More than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? Well, a conqueror wins. More than a conqueror, I don't know. They win with like benefits, I guess. Winning's good enough. Winning with more is better. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know how you find out? Start winning the way God said, and you'll find out what more than a conqueror means. Praise the Lord. We're going to confess Philippians 4:13. We're going to speak these things. Amen? That's what confess is. Philippians 4:13, we're going to speak. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do that, Pastor. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is needed? Praise the Lord. Church, we got to build a building. We got to do this. We got to do that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When there's an offering taken up, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I need my own finances, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's three wonderful scriptures right there that if you just tuck those away in your thing, when the trial starts coming, I can do all things. Praise the Lord. You're dealing with being addicted. You're dealing with carrying things that you can't put down. And when I say addicted, I'm not just talking about drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, stuff like that. I'm talking about addicted to anything. Are you addicted to porn? Are you addicted to, are you addicted to eating? Are you addicted to whatever? Are you addicted to humans? Sometimes we can be addicted to humans. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some people can be addicted to work. I can do all things. Basically, addiction is something that's so strong on somebody that it's like impossible on their own accord to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Speak to the mountain and move it, or speak about it and watch it grow. Speak to the mountain and move it, or speak about it and watch it grow. reason I say this is because so many times when people are in trial, all they do is talk about the trial. Again, it is not wrong to bring it up. It is not wrong to say something. But if you're doing more talking about the trial than you are talking about how God getting you through the trial, then you just missed it. You're going to watch it grow. The trial will just grow right in front of your eyes. There are so many people. It'd be like this. It'd be like a person who plants a beautiful garden, goes out there, and then when the weeds start springing up, they mind the weeds and they make sure the weeds have all the nutrients and stuff like that. And they do things that afflict the good plants. That's exactly what it is. They grow and they grow and they grow, and then they don't have what they wanted. Amen? In reality, it becomes what you want, because some people live in their misery. Listen, I mean, if you say it's hopeless, then you've missed everything. Don't ever say it's hopeless. In fact, I remembered every one of your faces. I got it burned in my memory tonight, everywhere you're sitting. And so if any of you ever come up to me and say it's hopeless, I'm just going to haul off and smack you. That's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to do it. I don't want to, but I'm going to have to do it. That's just the way that it is. You know, we're not going to say these things anymore. We're not going to speak about the mountain anymore. We're going to speak to the mountain. We're not going to talk about how big everything else is, how big the trial is, how big the problem is, how big the bill is, how big the whatever is. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how big our God is. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's another one if you want. It's Philippians 4:19. Hallelujah. Write that one down too. Philippians 4:19. You got 4:13? A few later, that's a whole good section to get in right there. Amen. God is good, amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this scripture, Romans 8:11 in the Amplified. It says, and if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that's, it means, you know, it says if it does, and that means it does, hallelujah, yeah. Praise the Lord, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Praise the Lord. How do you read the scripture any other way? Did I twist the scripture? Am I saying something that the scripture doesn't say? Praise the Lord. Real quick, I know I said we're closing, I lied. Praise God. Real quick, go to Romans 8:11. I want you to look at it in the non-amplified version. This is, I'm going to read it to you in the New King James, the New King Jimmy version, hallelujah. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Did I read that? Did I interpret that some way that was different than the way it probably was written? Could you interpret that some different way? What does it say? It says that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If that same spirit dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, I'm going to say this real quick before we close. If you want to interpret this differently, this is how you have to do it. You have to start making it say something that it doesn't say. Amen? You have to start saying, well, that word life, that means something other than what life means. Or that word mortal body, that means something other than what mortal bodies mean. You see what I'm talking about? See, this is how we can twist scripture, and we ain't going to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. The trial is made to try you. You have been made to stand and to flourish through it. Amen? I promise, that's it. That's where we're closing. Amen? The trial is made to try you. You have been made to get through it. And not just get through it, but to get through it shining, to get through it happy, to get through the other side and look stronger, look better. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The trial that'll come against you next time, there's trials that come against me today. I still face some of the old trials that I used to face, but they're nothing to me now. The devil still brings them back. He comes knocking, and I'm just like, psh. Why? Because this is what happens. You get strengthened. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.